Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, today's Tuesday, January 31st, a couple days after the NFL championship games, which is what we're going to talk about. We got a great top five as well. A couple stories from the weekend I want to get into before we get into the sports stuff. But Matt, your Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. Sure, you're very happy.
Yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's just nice. I mean, I don't want to, you know, get my hopes up too much before the actual game. But having won two Super Bowls just sounds so much better than having won just one Super Bowl, right? This is not a problem that you have as a 49ers fan. And so I think it would be really great if the Eagles could win it. I'm sorry about the 49ers. Obviously Brock Purdy getting hurt was beneficial to the Eagles, but I feel like this was, for the two of us, probably the most anticipated game of our lives, at least for the NFL, and so it was really a letdown.
Just so anticlimactic. I think it was the first drive that Purdy got hurt, right? It might have been the second one. Yeah, it was
very early.
And then Josh Johnson, who was on his third go-around with the 49ers, got hurt on literally the exact same play.
Yeah.
Different injury, but like literally it looked like the exact same thing happened to him.
Right.
And there's so many. Ultimately, if we don't have a quarterback who can throw, we're not going to win. But the Devonta Smith, and I guess we'll start with the NFC Championship game. The Devonta Smith catch, refs overturned that. You don't get a touchdown there. If Josh Johnson doesn't fumble right before halftime, you know, one of those things happen. It's a one-score game, and we have the ball going into the second half. Instead, we start the third quarter 7-21. You can't throw the ball. You're not going to come back from that. It was pretty insurmountable pretty quick, which was such a letdown because the 49ers hadn't lost since October.
Right.
And, yeah, I think their closest game was the Dallas game.
Yeah.
Like, it was just such a run. I think it was 12 in a row they ended up winning, which is ridiculous in the NFL.
Yes. No, absolutely crazy. They're an excellent, excellent team. As far as the Devonta Smith thing, absolutely should have been overturned. Heads up play by Devonta Smith, and like kudos to the Eagles offense getting that playoff so quick.
Devonta, it was awesome.
Yeah. And so I was very happy with that. Heads up for the Eagles to know to challenge the Josh Johnson fumble to get that. It's a team that does a lot of things right. And so I think we saw that we're not going to be a pretty team, which we can talk about, you know, previewing the Super Bowl. But I just feel like the Eagles are just going to grind it out and you're not going to be impressed, but you're going to look up and they're going to have 30 points.
Yeah, for the 49ers to win, they're going to need health, which right off the bat, Nick Bosa got hurt and he wasn't even on the field.
Yeah.
Fred Warner got hurt on like the third play of the game. So right off the bat, we're like, this is not good. So we needed none of that to happen. Plus some breaks. And none of that happened.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as Fred Warner got hurt, I was like, this isn't good. And then Purdy got hurt. I was like, it's game over. And then Nick Bosa got hurt on a punt return where he wasn't on the field. And I was like, it's just not meant to be. Is what it is.
So very disappointing. I would have liked a more, fair game, but very, very excited for the Super Bowl coming up.
Have you seen pictures of Kyle Shanahan before, like when he got hired and now with the 49ers?
Not recently. I mean, I was watching this game. It's like he's older than I remember.
He looks like it's Barack Obama-esque from an aging perspective.
Right.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's been working hard. I'd be so frustrated if I was Kyle Shanahan. You know, like, you get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. You finally get rid of him. He gets hurt. So you're like, fine, I'll go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. He gets hurt. And then you start playing better with Brock Purdy. And then he gets hurt. And then you have a Josh Johnson who's been in the league since forever. Third time with the Niners, Shanahan's like, okay, maybe we can make this work. And then he gets hurt. Honestly, last year as much as this year, we should have won the Chiefs Super Bowl. We were up by 10 in the fourth quarter. We should have won one. I know Shanahan wasn't the coach at this point, so I guess I'll take back the Kaepernick thing. But he should, I feel like, have won a Super Bowl. Maybe I'm biased, but I feel like there's been some bad breaks.
Yeah, there have been some bad breaks.
Jimmy Garoppolo is one of those bad breaks, just having him on the team.
Him on the team, you know, and not to rub salt in the wound. I mean, we all have, you know, things like this, but not drafting Patrick. You draft Patrick Mahomes, I think you've won 5 Super Bowls with Kyle Shanahan as the coach.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes in Kyle Shanahan's offense?
Yeah, it would be insane.
I cannot imagine. I literally cannot. Mahomes throwing to, and maybe the team doesn't look the same, but like throwing to Debo and handing off to McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Oh my! Like Brock Purdy is putting up 35 a game.
Right. Yeah, and I mean that's like Kyle Shanahan. Looking at what he's been able to do, he is probably the best coach in the NFL right now. I do think that there are sort of trends with this, so I don't know, you know, how long that stays. But clearly, he's developed one of the only systems where the quarterback is irrelevant, assuming that you have a quarterback that can throw the ball 10 yards.
Yeah, which Jimmy Garoppolo can't, but everyone else can.
Yeah.
He's such an enigma because, like, it's the most incredible offense, and yet he gets quarterbacks like Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy. And also, it's the ultimate offense that proves literally any running back can get in here and get 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
And we spent a third-round pick this year. We spent a second-round pick 2 years ago, or another third-round pick. I forgot what Trey Sermon was. We spent a second, third, a four, and a fourth on Christian McCaffrey this year. Like, we keep putting all these resources into running backs, and we keep having undrafted guys and six-round picks show you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
That being said, McCaffrey was really good, but now we don't have any cap room, basically, or draft picks this year because we gave away 3 first-round draft picks for Trey Lance, who's played in 5 quarters, basically.
Right.
So it's a tough offseason.
Well, the thing is, I'm not 100% sure you really need a draft pick right now. I mean, it'd be nice to have them for a couple years down the road. But as far as next year, you know, honestly, I think Trey Lance or Brock Purdy has a real good chance to get the job done, assuming that you, you know, maintain most of the rosters you have it right now.
I'm worried about, like, our right tackle is a free agent. We don't have to get into a 49ers offseason breakdown, but our right tackle is a free agent who I like, but I don't love the offensive line, especially the interior. You know, I'm always harping on the secondary. Mm-hmm. Now, they were better this year. They were average, but our free safety, older, 2 cornerbacks I don't love. You know, I think we could improve there. Jimmy Ward's the only secondary player I'm like, I, you know, 100% confident in this guy, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, you know. Would you, and I think there's an obvious answer to this, but would you rather be the 49ers where you're in 3 AFC championships, 1 Super Bowl game, win the division a bunch, but you don't get over the hump, or suck for like 15 years but win a Super Bowl? And I mean like Cleveland Browns level suck.
Yeah.
I think there's an obvious answer.
Yeah, I think you want to be the 49ers because with the Browns, it's like I'm not even sure I'm going to tune in to watch them.
But think how great that 1 Super Bowl is.
It is pretty great.
I would take the Super Bowl over any of this, you know, because yeah. Like the Utah Jazz with Stockton Malone, it's like, oh, they never won. Like, yeah, they were great for 20 years, but wouldn't you trade a couple of those playoff seasons for a ring?
I mean, a couple of those playoff seasons,
I would trade like 17 of them for 1 championship.
I don't know, man. I just feel like, don't you think that Jazz fans, through the 80s and the 90s, have had more fun than the Raptors fans through the 90s to 2000? 2017 or wherever they won their championship.
I don't know. I think 2017 or whatever was pretty fun for them.
I know that was fun. I just think that, like, I don't want to watch the Raptors lose free agent and free agent over and over and over again and just be miserable for that time.
I don't know. I just think maybe, like, the Giants do a great job of winning, but no other team. The 49ers last Super Bowl, I was 2.
Yeah.
Jazz have never won one.
Well, and maybe that's why, you know, we have different opinions. Because before, if the Eagles had still won 0 Super Bowls, I would be like, we just got to get one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But since we got one so much recently, it's like, I'll take some good seasons where we don't get over the hump. And, you know, now we're here, obviously. I very much really want to win. But, like, this was a great season, you know?
Yeah. I have a couple stories from the weekend, then we'll talk the AFC Championship and go back to the kind of a Super Bowl preview. But two funny things happened to me. All right. Now, I don't think I told you about one of them.
One of them I know about.
Yeah, one of them you know about. But the other one, I think you'll think this is hilarious. And it's a quick one. But I was getting a new phone. I was at the AT&T store. Me, the two people helping me were a white guy, like early 20s, and a Hispanic guy. He said his parents were from Mexico, probably like early 30s, late 20s, like that age.
Yeah.
And we were just talking. They were setting my phone up. And the, like, you know how like AT&T or like stores have like TV on?
Uh-huh.
So like the Food Network was on, and the white guy was like, man, there's like, working in food sucks. There's like not a worse job than like working in a restaurant. And then the Mexican guy just deadpan was like, well, when I was 11, I had to pick strawberries in the field for like 12. It was so funny. And he wasn't like bragging or anything, or was it? He wasn't even like trying to be funny necessarily. It was just like, you know, adding to the conversation.
Right. Just making a contribution.
Yeah. It's like I could pick for 16 hours when I was 11.
Yeah.
Like almonds and strawberries and stuff. Oh, it was so funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was fantastic. Second story, this is the one you know, but I was skiing. These are both very quick stories, but I went off a drop and it's snowing a lot in Utah.
Sure.
So I didn't see the boulder that was covered in snow. So I literally, kind of like a cartoon, like just, I didn't even land. I like just hit it while I was in the air, kind of just like bounced off it. I'm fine, but broke my ski, ripped the binding out. So I'm in search of some new skis.
Which is really a bummer because you already invested a lot of money.
Yeah, like with the pass, and I had to get new boots, and like I bought these skis, like they were used, but they're still expensive with the bindings and everything.
And you want to get new skis this season to make the pass worth it.
Right. If I didn't have the pass, I wouldn't get new skis. But
right,
like I got the pass, I was like, well, I got to get skis to keep it up. You know.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was my weekend.
Very disappointing.
Plus the Niners lost. So between the 49ers losing and the ski thing, I think I had about 60 people. Like, my phone was, like, blowing up. Like, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? Do you need anything? People were very concerned. Because, they thought, I posted a video of, like, ski patrol taking me down the mountain. And people thought I was, like, actually hurt. So that was probably my bad.
I was going to tell you, that's a very misleading tweet.
Well, I thought it was just, like, a fun thing. I wasn't thinking, though. So that was my bad.
Yeah.
That was my bad. But also, people know I get very upset and sad when the 49ers lose. So I had a lot of that going on.
Yes, yeah.
Let's talk Bengals.
Let's talk about the Bengals.
Bengals Chiefs. You were saying the whole time you wanted the Bengals to win just so you wouldn't have to play the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, more that I wouldn't have to play Patrick Mahomes. But yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Man, he's really good.
So good.
He's really good.
So good. And all my kids, well, we'll talk about this when we get to the preview, but all my kids were like, oh, but he's injured, so he's not going to play good. It's like, I don't know. He seemed fine yesterday.
Patrick Mahomes on one leg is better than probably most, if not all, ever quarterbacks still on two legs.
Yeah.
Like, because the only thing, like, in the pocket, he was fine. He just, you know, less escapability and less out of the pocket stuff, but Chiefs seem to be fine without that.
Yes. Yeah. No, they've got a very good offensive line, a couple of injuries, but they're not injured quite as much as the rest of the roster.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me was how sad it was watching the Bengals defensive end, Joseph Asai, like sobbing after the game. Mm-hmm. Did you see videos of that?
Yeah.
It was brutal. The poor guy. Second year. I think he's like 23 or something like that. His second year in the league.
Right. I hate that. Just like, don't film those guys.
I know. Well, you remember obviously the Bodie Miller interview.
This was the best. And by the best, I mean like the worst.
So this was what? Ever. Like 2010 Olympics?
10 or 6. Yeah. I think maybe 6.
It's the Winter Olympics. Bodie Miller's on the U.S. ski team. And he like either won or got second in his race. This is off the top of the head. I didn't do any research before this, but like, it was like, he was very emotional because he either like barely won or like barely lost or something like that. And the reporter was like, so I hear your brother just died. And Bodie Miller was like trying to not talk about it. And she's like, so how do you feel that your brother's, I'm not exaggerating this.
Yeah, no, it was like, how, now I know this medal's important for you, but I bet it'd be important for your dead brother.
Yeah. And after like a minute and a half of that, Bodie Miller just started like sobbing. And literally she was like, So how do you think your brother, who's dead, feels about this? Like, it was, and we were like screaming at the TV, like, shut up.
Well, it was so, because he just, you know, he kind of sits down and starts crying, and the woman's just, amazing. Look at all that emotion.
It was the most uncomfortable thing. It was literally like the most, like, not the most dehumanizing thing. I don't want to exaggerate, but it was like pretty, like, clearly just trying to get a reaction. Like, doesn't care at all about how Bodhi feels.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bodhi, I know skiing's not the biggest sport, but like at the time, Bodhi Miller was a pretty big deal.
Huge deal. Yeah. Absolutely the best male skier in the history of the United States. Yeah.
So that was sad. But that's what they just kept like zooming in on, this 23-year-old who just had probably, at the time in his head at least, the worst 10 seconds of his entire life. He feels like he like lost the game for his team. And the camera just keeps like zeroing in on him crying. Like, we get it. And obviously, I do like seeing a little bit of emotion. Like, in March Madness, it's fun when they like, not fun, but like, it's nice to see like the emotion and like the players supporting each other. But we don't need to like zero in on the worst day of these people's lives.
Right, yeah.
Do you remember the NFL draft a few years ago where ESPN would be like, ran a 4.3, had 22 touchdowns, his mother's a drug addict, like stuff like mm-hmm. that? That was so weird. Like, why are they doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, like, just let them have their day.
Yeah, it was so uncomfortable. Like, just talk about football or, you know, some positive stuff, you know? We like, they just found, like, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to this 20-year-old? And let's share it on national television right. with everybody.
Yeah.
That's not where I thought we were going to go with this.
Yeah. Shall we talk about the actual game?
Let's talk about the actual game. So I thought, I was on a confidence level that the Chiefs were going to win. I would say I was at like an 8 just because of Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But the Bengals had won 3 in a row. Joe Burrow's very good. But I just felt like they weren't going to lose a fourth time in a row and a second year in a row at Arrowhead to the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs has never lost at Arrowhead in regulation.
Yeah.
He's lost in overtime to the Bengals and then to the Patriots, but he's never lost a regulation game at Arrowhead.
Right. Which is why all that, like, oh, Burrowhead, you know, Patrick Mahomes can't beat Joe Burrow. It's like, okay, so he beat him in the playoffs in overtime. That's not like a blowout.
Yeah. No, that was probably not very smart of the Bengals to do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't think a lot of people are talking about like the missed calls or like the holding calls that they missed and things like that. Like the one on the play where Patrick Mahomes got the first down and then Joseph Tsai got that penalty, the defensive player is doing a rip move, which if you remember from your week of football.
I do remember. I think it's the push of
that. Yeah, one. It's where like you take your arm and like go under their arms, kind of like trying to rip through their arms. And no, they can't see what we're doing. But you know what a rip move is. But like, if you're doing that, it kind of changes like what the threshold of a holding call is, which I didn't know until this week, to be fair. So I'm not like an NFL rules expert. But a ton of people on social media were like, oh, it's a hold. How many holds were there? And then people who actually know football were like, oh, it's not a hold in that situation.
Yeah.
So I don't think there were that many missed calls, you know?
No.
And I wouldn't be... If I was a Bengals fan, I'd be upset, but...
Sure, and I do understand being upset. I didn't think the calls was that big of a deal. My general attitude was, if you don't want the refs to ruin the game, win by more than one score, right? That's just your responsibility as a team. You have to be able to win by more than one possession. I think it's more true in basketball than it is in football. But you just can't put the refs game in a sand. That, which is sort of why I'm okay with penalty shootouts in soccer. Is it the best way to determine the winner? No. Is it fair? Probably not. But if you want something fair, just score goals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, this is only somewhat related, but England should have played Marcus Rashford. He scored in like 9 out of 10 goals, like games since the World Cup. And Harry Kane missed that second penalty. I think that if Marcus Rashford is in the game, I think England beats France.
Yeah.
That's my World Cup opinion.
It's a good take.
But yeah, like, if it's a close game, like, you can't put yourself in a position where a bad call, because you know bad calls are going to happen, not necessarily against you, but you know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't be in a position where that could happen to you and you lose because of that.
Absolutely.
So, I would, if I'm a Bengals fan, I'm obviously very sad. I am a 49ers fan and I'm very sad, but I wouldn't be because of the officiating.
Right.
And I had some, even with the 49ers Eagles games, I had, because there was a one, the second, I think it was a second touchdown drive. We had three penalties that gave you guys first downs. Mm-hmm. I had people texting me, you know, like the refs suck. And obviously I wasn't thrilled, but I don't think they were like horrible calls at the same time.
Right.
You know, they were unfortunate for us. But I don't think they were, like, all three of them bad calls, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think, because, yeah, I think football is more clear-cut than, you know, to compare to basketball. Again, I think basketball really is kind of in the ref's interpretation a little bit. Soccer very much is. But, yeah, I mean, there's just going to be plays that, you know, maybe could go either way, and the ref does have to make a decision. So, and usually, they're going to lean the direction of the offense.
Yeah, yeah. Now we look at Chiefs, Eagles. Eagles are wearing their green jerseys, by the way.
I love it.
As of right now, the Eagles are 2-point favorites. So that means, oh, now it's 1.5. So basically, I would have thought Kansas City would be the favorite. I don't know what you would have thought before that.
I don't know. It's hard. The, I did see on the, and I don't exactly know how this scored, but the ESPN Football Power Index, they gave the Eagles a 50.5% chance to win. So very, very close game. And I was talking about it with my kids at school today. I think the Eagles are better than the Chiefs at every position except for quarterback, obviously, and tight end because they have Travis Kelce. And the Eagles have been so good with their corners. They don't, you know, individually have the best corners in the league. They have the best, statistically the best cornerback pairing in the league, which I think if you're going to take advantage of that, you know, their nickel corner is great and they have good enough safeties. But if you're going to pass against the Eagles, you want to do it with a tight end, which is what the Chiefs are going to want to love to do. And that's the thing. I mean, Eagles have a better offensive line. They have a better defensive line. They have better receivers. And it's just frustrating that that might not matter because Patrick Mahomes might just figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah, well, the Chiefs receivers might probably the worst position group in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Is the Chiefs receivers. James Bradbury was downhill in New York, and then you guys signed him, and it's had like a renaissance.
Yeah.
So that's been good because when you initially signed him, I was like, well, that's interesting. And it worked out.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. Hassan Reddick might have been just the best free agent in all of the NFL.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding.
Well, he broke Brock Purdy's elbow. So yeah, good job.
Well, he did. He hit the football before he hit the elbow.
It wasn't malicious, but like that's what happened.
That is what happened.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault. Not a dirty play. But like, yeah, he came not unblocked, but basically unblocked. That's how good the pass rush was.
Yeah.
And got to Purdy so fast. Yeah, he's been a difference maker. Brandon Graham's off awesome. Fletcher Cox, obviously fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Darius Slay's obviously the man. Yeah, I think I'm interested to see what they do with Travis Kelce. Because Travis Kelce against the Bengals was lining up out wide a lot.
Uh-huh.
Because they have the opposite. They have a good, like, interior part of the secondary. Like, Mike Hilton? Am I blanking on that? It's Mike Hilton, right?
There's a Mike Hilton.
Yeah, Mike Hilton is really good. Jesse Bates is one of the best safeties in the league. So I wonder if he'll play more in line or at least more in the slot against Philadelphia than what he was doing against Cincinnati.
Right.
So that's interesting to see that.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts has 2 more weeks. People forget he missed 2 games. Patrick Mahomes has probably a more serious injury. But, you know, Jalen Hurts wasn't 100% on Sunday and still did enough to win.
Yeah, did enough to win, did complete a lot of passes. I did note that he could push the ball, he could throw it quite far, but he didn't connect on any of the deep passes he threw, except for the one to Devonta Smith.
He missed AJ Brown a couple times. Yeah.
And so you do wonder if that's partially the shoulder injury. You do. I mean, he's obviously just not the best quarterback in the NFL at that. I think he would tell you that.
Yeah.
I really hope that a couple more weeks helps him to, you know, get back into it. And I do think 2 weeks of rest is going to help because he was trying to get back in as quickly as possible.
Well, they needed to win week 18 because they lost the 2 without him.
Right.
So they needed to get the 1 seed in the bye.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be very very important. So that's going to be interesting to see those first couple of drives, is how far and how accurate is he throwing those far passes.
Yeah, no, I'm interested. I think I like Juan Thornhill, the Chiefs, one of the Chiefs secondary players, but overall I think with that duo, like, probably, I don't want to say top two, it's off the top of my head, I'm sure I'm missing someone, but it's one of the best top two, like, receivers in the league, is Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown.
Yeah, yeah, great pairing. And then with, I like Dallas Goedert a lot. I think he's a really good tight end. So a lot of really good options for Jalen Hurts, as well as really good running the ball. Not just him, but we've got three running backs that I feel comfortable with running the ball. So just, I think the Eagles are the best roster in the NFL, top to bottom.
Problem is they have Patrick Mahomes.
And so that, I think, is really going to be the key to the game, is what are the Eagles going to do to slow down Travis Kelce? I think if they do that, the rest of the Chiefs have enough injuries in the secondary, certainly in the wide receivers, who you talked about, and even the offensive line. So I think if they slow Travis Kelce down, they're going to be able to win. And if not, then Patrick Mahomes is going to do Patrick Mahomes things.
I think the best thing about the Eagles roster is that they drafted Dallas Goedert, who was named Dallas because their parents were Dallas Cowboys fans.
Yes.
And the Eagles, like, I think intentionally drafted him because of that.
Well, not only did they draft him because of that, they traded to one in front of the Eagles to get him. They actually traded up in front of the Cowboys to draft him.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So Dallas Goedert's a stud. Do you want to say who you think will win, or do you want to do that next week? Because I don't know. I don't.
Well, you think about it. I think the Eagles, you know, and I'm going to continue.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah.
I'm going to continue to talk myself into it. But I do think they're the best roster in the league. I just love the defense. If any front seven is going to be able to get to Patrick Mahomes and put pressure on him, it's going to be the Eagles. And so even, you know, he's certainly going to get better, but he's certainly not going to be at 100% either. And so the Eagles, I think, are going to make that a problem.
I thought Kansas City would be favored by like 2.5 or 3. The Eagles being favorites, and I was fully prepared with that, like, to pick the Eagles to at least like cover that spread.
Yeah.
Keep it close. I don't know, with the Eagles being favorites, it just kind of threw me through a loop. So yeah. Next week I'll have a pick. But I don't know, because I'm in a pick'em group with my buddy, and we got not a lot of money on it, but enough where I want to get it right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I either need to pick the same game as him because I'm up by a point, or pick right if we pick opposite.
Yeah. Now, when you say the pick the same game as him, there's
or like the same team.
Yeah.
Like, we both pick the Eagles. It doesn't matter if it's right or not.
Right.
For example.
Yeah.
But the same thing happened last year. I was up by a point. I picked the Bengals. He picked the Rams, and the Bengals covered the spread. So yeah, we're good.
That's good. Now, is he up by one, or are you up by one?
I'm up by one.
Can you just pick the same team as him and then win?
Well, I don't know who he's going to pick.
Oh, well,
yes. Yeah. But
you should see if you can, like, put your pick in after him or something.
Well, like, it hides it until.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. So it hides the pick until the game starts.
Too bad.
So, yeah. That would obviously just, I would do that.
Right. You know. Yeah.
Shall we go to the top five?
Let's do the top five.
Last week, Matt didn't have too much to say on the top five. This week, I think he'll have a lot to say. We're doing the top five best people, best characters in The Lord of the Rings. Best is defined as morally best, not the coolest.
Yes, yeah. Jake did prep me on this, so not favorite characters.
Not favorite characters, not coolest characters. Faramir would be on there, but that's not what the game is.
Faramir's great. And I don't know if you've done this. I've disqualified any angel, demigod sort of character.
I've also done that because I knew you would. And Matt is more, you've heard him talk about the Boston Marathon. It's even worse with Lord of the Rings. So do you want to just clarify what we're talking about? Because when we don't say Gandalf, people are going to be like, what are you talking about?
Sure. So Gandalf is what's known as a Maiar, who are just beneath the Valar in the collection of the Ainur, who are the creative spirits that Ilúvatar sent into Middle-earth from beyond the void to shape the Song of Creation. And Gandalf is one of those.
So in like 5-year-old terms, what would that be?
I would say Gandalf is an angel, is what I would say.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to explain it.
Well, that's another reason. One of the biggest, like, people watch Lord of the Rings, like, oh, why don't the Eagles just carry Frodo to the Mount Doom? I asked you this question. You can go ahead and clarify for the good folks.
The Eagles are also Maiar. They serve the Valar named Manwë, who sits atop the tallest peak in the world and is able to see all things. The Eagles report to him. And so the reason they don't do more, they don't carry people farther, is because the Valar, and, you know, there's a debate as to why, but they seem to not want to solve the problems of the children being the elves and men for them. They want men and elves to solve these problems for themselves. They might assist and give counsel, which is the same reason you'll notice Gandalf does not actually do a lot of magic. He just kind of goes around telling other people what to do. He's more of a counselor.
Well, people are always like, Dumbledore beat Gandalf. And I'm like, we don't even see what Gandalf can do.
Yes.
Like, that's not, if you're just basing it off the movies, that's not really a fair or educated thing to say.
Right, yeah, no. If the powers of Gandalf were unleashed, I think he could handle Dumbledore.
So that's a long way of saying Gandalf isn't on the list.
Yes.
Yeah. Should I go first?
I think you should go first.
Okay. Here's number 5. Now, I'm counting elves in this.
Yeah, elves are great.
Okay. There's going to be mostly hobbits, if we're being honest with ourselves.
Sure.
Number 5 is Arwen.
Interesting choice.
I was going to put Elrond there, but the only reason I didn't is because he didn't want Arwen to be with Aragorn.
Uh-huh.
And Arwen was willing to sacrifice herself to be with Aragorn. Sure. So I thought that got her the bump.
Okay.
Number 4 is Bilbo.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I didn't think this until like a week ago, but we were talking, and when Bilbo found the ring, he could have killed Gollum, but he chose to let him live. And you said that act kind of had Bilbo take power over the ring as opposed to the other way around. Mm-hmm. So that's why it didn't do to Bilbo what it did to Gollum right away.
Yes.
So that's Bilbo's number 4.
Very good choice.
3A and 3B, Merry and Pippin.
Okay.
They're just not crazy, not fancy, but they're always looking to, you know, help Frodo out, help Aragorn out, help whoever out.
Uh-huh.
Even if they're not the best at it.
Yeah.
The heart's in the right place.
Absolutely.
Number 2 is Aragorn.
Very good.
Aragorn. Yeah. One of the themes of the movie is how easily corrupted men are, and Aragorn had the most chances to be corrupted, and he never was.
Uh-huh.
And number 1 is obviously Sam. Just, that's a no-brainer. He's
the protagonist,
the best character in the movie, does nothing but help Frodo and, you know, focus on the quest, get in the ring taken care of. So Sam's number 1.
Uh-huh.
So Sam, Aragorn, Merry Pippin, Bilbo, and Arwen. Okay. Top 5.
Yeah. Could I ask you to talk about Arwen a little bit more? Because I was not expecting her on the list.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
Well, I just think the sacrifice of, and it's not really to do with the ring, really.
Sure.
But, like, her love for Aragorn was greater than her love for immortality, eternal life, being with her people.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really kind of hard for us to comprehend because that's not really a concept we have, is like being able to live forever.
Yes.
But she was willing to give that up, and ultimately knowing Aragorn was going to die and she was going to be lonely by herself and not with her people.
Yeah.
And that love was more important to her than everything else.
Yeah.
So that's why she got.
Okay.
I thought that was very powerful.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I approve. My list is different, but I like yours very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear yours.
Okay. So, first off, there are a couple that, and I haven't done any 3As or 3Bs, so there were some people that I really wanted to put on there that did not fit.
I just felt Merry and Pippin had to be together.
I've separated them, but I see what you mean.
Okay.
But yes, Aragorn and Bilbo are the two that I really wanted on the list that I couldn't quite
fit. You didn't put Aragorn on there?
I don't have
Aragorn. You put Merry and Pippin ahead of Aragorn?
I have Merry ahead of Aragorn.
Well, you didn't put Pippin on there?
Pippin is not on my list.
Okay, well, is Merry 5?
No.
Okay. Well, you start, I guess.
Okay. Number 5 is Theoden.
Matt's face is so happy right now.
Theoden is 5. I love Theoden. he, you know, always wants, he goes to help the people of Gondor when he knows that it's probably to the ruin of his own country. He thinks there's a great risk of his own people being destroyed in that battle, but it's so important to him because of honor and the tradition of, you know, help between those two countries. So that obviously is huge and a very brave thing for him to do. Also, the respect that he has to Merry and just hobbits in general. I think of the people that they meet, including Galadriel, I think Theoden is the most respectful and honorable to the hobbits.
Explain that a tiny bit more.
Well,
because I would say, okay, you go ahead.
Well, what I mean is, you know, Galadriel obviously respects the hobbits. She gives them gifts. She treats Frodo very well, obviously. But Theoden makes Merry his personal squire. He sits next to him as they journey, and he's like, Merry, I want you to tell me songs about your homeland. I want to learn about the halfling people. And he is really the first person to treat Merry with respect for him and feel like Merry's going to have something to offer. He obviously does not take him to the Battle of Minas Tirith or Pelennor Fields, but that's because he wants to protect him. Right.
Now, you could say the same thing about Boromir's dad, who sucks. Because he made him a Squire of Gondor.
Well, yeah, but when he made him a Squire of Gondor, it's like, okay, Pippin, you're just going to do what I say. And he kind of ignored Pippin after he did this. He's like, I'll give you a tunic if you want, but I'm never going to see you. Theoden spent a huge amount of time with Merry.
All right. Okay. So Theoden ahead of Aragorn.
Yes.
Who, as the king, bowed to Frodo and Sam and Merry and Pippin.
Yeah, I said I wanted Aragorn on my list. The reason Aragorn is not on my list, this isn't a knock, I think he has just done what is expected of him. Now, more was expected of him than any other man, and he does it exceptionally well, but I feel like the other people on my list surprised me and surprised the people of Middle-earth with the way they acted.
I would say people expected Aragorn to do what Isildur did, and he overcame that. So I would say he went above expectations.
He did his duty, I guess I should say.
When no one else had thousands of years.
Sure. Well, there was
like men, the whole books, men are like the worst characters, clearly, and like the worst, like easily corrupted. And Aragorn comes above that. I feel like that should count for something.
I mean, the ring was lost for all those years, so nobody else had the opportunity to do that.
All right, but I mean, Isildur did, if we go to that.
Yeah.
Like,
and like
Boromir.
I'm not putting Isildur above Aragorn, though. I'm putting Theoden above Aragorn.
Okay. I disagree completely, but okay.
Okay.
What was number four?
Number four is Merry Solo.
Okay, so what's the difference between Merry and Pippin? Why is Merry above Aragorn? I'll let you talk.
I think what Merry does, what I love about Merry, and I think in recent years, you know, I think Merry has kind of become my favorite character in the whole thing. And I think it's because he just has such a sense of honor. And it's like he's going to do the right thing. No matter what, he's going to be scared and he knows he's probably going to fail, but he has this sense of like, I am absolutely going to do the right thing.
You don't feel like Pippin has that?
I feel like Pippin, I don't know that Pippin would have it without Merry. Now there are a lot of, there are a lot of, you know, situations that Pippin gets Merry out of, you know, the two need each other the same as Frodo and Sam do. But I feel like, you know, to use a comparison, I feel like Merry is more the Captain America type character that I really like, whereas Pippin would be one of the other Avengers who obviously does all of the right things, but I think they look up to Merry. Like the other Avengers might look up to Captain America for their sense of right or wrong.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Okay. All right. Number three, Gimli, son of Gloin.
Okay, ahead of Aragorn.
Ahead of Aragorn.
I'm so confused by
Gimli.
That. Why? That's not the Gimli thing. It's the Aragorn not being on the list. But
yeah,
okay,
I know. And Aragorn, it's like Aragorn. I really think it's six.
I thought Bilbo would be on there as well. I was surprised. I put Bilbo on because like, oh, Matt's gonna have him on, so I feel like I should. But
right, yeah, no. Okay. And Bilbo is amazing. I love Bilbo. But anyway, Gimli is on the list. because of the years of hatred between elves and dwarves, and that Gimli is able to let that go. You know, dwarves being such a stubborn people, a very jealous people, and they're quick to blame elves for a lot of the problems that they have. And then Gimli has just this beautiful friendship with Legolas, and he defends the Lady Galadriel to Éomer. He sets Galadriel's hair into three crystals to honor her, which is something that was able to bridge a gap between dwarves and the rest of elves for as long as elves remained in Middle-earth. And the other thing is that Gimli, after the books are over, he settles in the Glittering Caves behind Helm's Deep. And he does not dig deeply and greedily like the rest of the dwarves did in Moria, for example. But he takes the caves and shapes them naturally, maybe carves off a little bit every year. But he seems to delight in the beauty of that place, which is unique to dwarves. Dwarves are more about crafting things, the beauty of things they make in their own hands, which is not bad. But Gimli has an appreciation of nature that is so important in those books that is really unique to him among the dwarves.
We're getting into some deep cuts
from
the books.
Yes. Yeah. No. So I would say, you know, Jake talking about how much I know about this. I know there are people in the world that know more about the Lord of the Rings than me. I haven't met them.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't either.
Yeah. So there's Gimli, number two. And this is the person I knew you would not have on your list. And you're absolutely wrong for not having this person on this list. Is Frodo Baggins. How could Frodo not be on your list?
Like, what does he do?
He carries the ring.
So did Gollum. Like, Gollum carried it. Like, that's not a prize. He did it for, like, 3 months, and, like, it was game over for him. He, like, left from Mount, like, once he got to Mount Doom, he didn't want to throw it in.
Yeah. So, first off, he does it for, let's see. So, the journey itself, where he's actually, you know, wearing it around his neck, that probably takes about 6-7 months, but he's got it for a good 15-20 years after Bilbo leaves. So the ring does have quite a bit of time.
Wait, whoa. That was 15 years?
That's a long time, yeah.
Okay, that's my bad. Are you, that's that long?
I'll double check the calendar. It's more than 10 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well, I'll take that back.
It's a very, very long time. So, and I think people don't understand how strong of an influence the ring has on people. And this may be an argument for Aragorn, but
it definitely is.
But Boromir is a great person. People always rag on Boromir. I think Boromir is an excellent person. He's very brave. He has very good motives. And the ring takes even his great motives of wanting to protect the people of Gondor and turns those into evil. And so while that doesn't happen to Aragorn, so yeah, that's a good thing for him. But Frodo has got this thing working on him, eating inside of his mind in a way that we don't see. And I think because Tolkien doesn't tell us what's happening in Frodo's mind, I think people overlook it.
Well, let's just take a time out. That's my exact point for Aragorn, is Boromir wasn't even near the thing for, like, how long was he there? A few months?
Yeah, from October to January.
Yeah.
February.
And it just, boom, like that. And even at the Council of Elrond, you could see Boromir was being affected by it.
Yeah.
And Aragorn easily, multiple times for multiple months, could have just taken it from him. No problem.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't even think about it.
Right. Aragorn's great.
He's like, I feel like you should be saying this because you're the one who has, like, literary themes and things like that. And I think that's, like, one of the biggest themes of the whole movie and the whole book series is how corruptible men are and how Aragorn is the one man, like, specifically man, not elf or dwarf, but, like, actual human man who doesn't get corrupted by it.
Yeah. And I'm not arguing against that. Aragorn's great. I think if the list was who are the greatest, you know, souls in Middle-earth, I think that Aragorn would certainly be above.
Isn't that this good same thing as morally good?
No, I don't think it. I just think that, like the pureness of, I don't know. I think that I'm touched by the sweetness of some of these other characters. And Aragorn, I would not say is, you know, that good sweet. I think he's like noble sweet. And so, which I think is a matter of personal taste.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's why I have Frodo on the list.
He's number two.
Yeah, he's number two.
Okay. So I think we have Sam number one.
Sam is number one. Sam has to be number one. And it's obvious. I feel like I don't really need to explain why.
I would like you to, though.
So yeah, Sam obviously is just, he, in terms of, you know, themes, I think being selfless and caring for other people is one of the major themes. And Sam, I think, is the most... Now I'm thinking I want to put Frodo ahead of Sam.
You can't do that.
Because in terms of who is the most selfless, I think Frodo is taking on more. I mean... Sam certainly has more love than Frodo, and we see that love coming from Sam. So that's why I'm still putting him ahead of Frodo.
Sam didn't even have to go on this thing, and he wanted to. He wasn't even thinking about anyone but Frodo.
Yeah,
the whole time.
Right. Which is interesting, and he does bad things because he's thinking about Frodo. Like, he should have just taken the ring to Mount Doom. That would have been the better decision. After, you know, Frodo gets attacked by Shelob, and then Gollum has to go rescue him in Minas Morgul, right? Yeah, that was the wrong decision, but I think it's that kind of decision that allowed him to give the ring back to Frodo in the first place. If he would have taken it for himself, I don't think that he would have been able to give it back, given the opportunity. Now, there is a debate. I'm one person that believes if Sam did end up in Mount Doom with the ring, I don't think he'd be able to throw it in. I think it's literally impossible for anybody to throw the ring in.
I think Sam, because Sam wasn't carrying it for the whole time. So I think he would have been able to.
Sure, but, you know, once he starts climbing those steps, I really, really think it starts working on him.
Do you think Elrond wouldn't have been able to throw it in?
No.
You don't think Elrond would have been able to?
I don't think Elrond would have been able to throw it in.
Well, then what's the point? Like, so no one would have been able to throw it in?
No one would have been able to throw it in, which is why it was so important that Gollum was there. You know, talking about the Valar and stuff, who they don't mention in the movie, Gandalf constantly talks about there's a reason Gollum is alive. Gollum still has a part to play. And that they have so many opportunities to kill Gollum. Even the elves in Mirkwood, they feel like it'd be a pity to kill him. We feel like, you know, it's almost like he's still got something to do. Aragorn says he's still got something to do.
That was well written by Tolkien, that whole... Because that was a pretty big twist, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it ended.
Right.
I think
it had to end that way.
So.
Now, do you want to hear my wild fan theory? That this is, like, I think I'm the only person who thinks this.
Yeah.
I really struggle.
Why not? Let's just make this a Lord of the Rings podcast.
Yeah. So, in their journey, Frodo is kind to Smeagol. Sam is not. Right?
Deservedly so, but yes.
Sure.
Sam was right.
Tolkien says that because Frodo showed kindness to Gollum for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well, I would say since Bilbo didn't kill him. But,
yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, sure, I'm sure that didn't feel very kind to Gollum. I think it just felt like someone was stealing his ring.
Okay, I get you. I feel
Tolkien says that Gollum was being rehabilitated and would have recovered from the wound of the ring entirely if Sam had not been unkind to him. Good Sam, who we love. So he's the reason that Gollum was never able to overcome the ring, was the unkindness of Sam. My theory is, I think a Smeagol who has overcome the power of the ring because of the kindness of Frodo, I think he would have been able to throw the ring in the fire.
So Elrond can't, but Smeagol can?
Yeah. The reason Elrond couldn't is similar to Gandalf. Gandalf says if he would have taken the ring, he would have had this desire to use it for good. I think you put that thing in Elrond's hand, he knows how powerful it is. He knows what sorts of magics he can use to preserve the nature and goodness in Middle-earth. I think that corrupts Elrond.
So why would Smeagol be able to throw it in?
Because he had gone into the depths of despair, and he truly knew how evil the ring was, And again, this is Tolkien saying he would have been able to overcome that. So yeah, I think,
Gandalf said he wouldn't. But you're saying
I don't know if Gandalf says.
In the movie he did. So I don't know if he does in the book.
Yeah,
in the movie Gandalf says he'll never recover from it. But
yeah,
that's obviously not canon. So
sure, yeah, and so that's, and this is just sort of a theory that I have, but I think that Sméagol, having recovered from the influence of the ring, because that's what Tolkien says, is he would have recovered from the influence of the ring, and he would have understood how evil it was. I think if he's holding it in his hand with those two things at the same time, he would not have been tempted by it, because he knows how bad it can be.
So I would say, A, that's a point, because we're talking about Sam, he cares, his priority is Frodo's, not the ring or this whole quest thing.
Yeah.
So being mean to Gollum was to protect Frodo.
Sure.
Which is ultimately good.
Yeah.
Same thing, like, the better thing would have been to take the ring himself and throw it in, but he gave it back to Frodo.
Uh-huh.
Same thing, like, being mean to Sméagol is just protecting Frodo.
I mean, he could have been kind and protected Frodo at the same time.
Well, he could have killed Gollum. That would have been the best thing, I think. But him being mean led to Gollum not being rehabilitated and biting the finger off and getting the ring in there, the finger in there. So
yeah, so Gollum did have that part to play either way. Yeah, I think his fate was tied to the ring in one way or the other. So,
well, that's our Lord of the Rings podcast. Do you have any closing remarks? Aragorn should have been on your list. Is my one takeaway?
Yeah. Technically, Ents are peoples and not Maiar. I think there's an argument for Treebeard, but I think Aragorn and Bilbo, I think, both beat him out. But he's kind of an honorable mention as well.
Well, tune in next week. We usually don't do this, but we'll give away next week's top five. We're doing the worst people.
Yeah. Now, shall we disclude
these Valar? Sauron's obviously not going to be on the list. He's right. Obviously the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Melkor would be number one, and Sauron would be number two.
People we know, Sauron would be number one.
Yeah.
People, anyway.
Of course.
But yeah, so same thing. Sauron, like you were saying, he's even a level above Gandalf. But we're talking, like, Middle-earth beings, not demigods, angels type.
Right.
Things. So Sauron won't be number one. I actually haven't done my list. We'll also talk about sports.
Yes, mostly sports.
Mostly sports.
We got to talk about how the Eagles can, you know, slow down Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know what we'll talk about next week because there's a bye week. So we'll see what happens. Appreciate everybody listening. If you have any thoughts, let us know. Feel free to drop a 5-star review, and we'll talk to you guys next week.